Sir Shane Jones sounds good, don't you think, Shane?
More in there, Mona. One of the problems of listening into someone else's interview, it causes you to collapse in laughter. all good, Whakaaro to my old St. Stephen's buddy, Heruini Parata, a walking encyclopedia there in the Taitapiti, and obviously Kevin Prime. Kevin's a totara tree for those of us in the Taitokero and young Toa, Toa Whaneva, a mix of our Polynesian brethren and a proud descendant of Mohi Tawhai, the great Mahurihuri, Ngāpuhi chief, and indeed in the day a parliamentarian.
You know a lot about whakapapa lines, Shane. I thank you for sharing some of that with us from time to time. Listen, I want to start off on what's been a very tragic note, but you say a whole community is being maligned because of the sinister efforts of one mongrel. We're talking about a home invasion. I'm assuming it's still under investigation here. Maybe you could bring us up to speed, but it casts a dim light across a proud town.
Yeah, I've got lots of rallies. My moko and Penetoe and his whānau live just on the outskirts there, Kaikohe, near Ohaewai, and we put a great deal of effort into recapitalising Kaikohe, and this single wicked incident sadly does blight the name of Kaikohe. It's full of garden variety whānau doing the best they can, and they're very confident about the future of Kaikohe. The police haven't apprehended this individual. I've been on record over the weekend exhorting the neighbourhood to rack their brains, check their own video footage, and apprehend this person, because obviously such an individual, so unhinged, so dangerous, is a threat to all families who live around Kaikohe, and the police need our support. But it's important that we don't give up on those parts of New Zealand who suffer these hideous crimes.
Tēnā koe, Shane. I was just talking with Kelvin, who was pretty upbeat about the opening of 37 homes midweek in Whangarei. You've been sort of transporting homes to the north for many years. Are you still moving in that space at all, Shane?
No. It's more of a young man's game. But no, over the years, we gave it a go. Right back in the days when I think Sandra Lee was the housing minister. But Puriri Park up at Manu near the hospital, that's the site of the houses. I mean, there's a need for ongoing housing solutions. But I think in Taitokero, we need to make more of the fact that there are areas where whānau Māori still own their own land. And the Crown, if it treated the investment in that land as a public good, then we'd have, I think, a lot more effective housing solutions, certainly in the mid-north. Now, in relation to Kerikeri, Kāinga Ora have gone back to the drawing board, but Kāinga Ora already have a resource consent, or they're pretty much at the verge of getting a resource consent for some intensive housing in Kerikeri. And the only way they're going to be able to do that is with the engagement with our local community. We've got some vigorous community organisations there, and we need to ensure that Kāinga Ora doesn't distort the future development of Kerikeri without realising that they haven't engaged to date. And if I get back into, when I get back into Parliament, there'll be a moratorium on whatever Kāinga Ora is doing in Kerikeri.
Thanks. What's on the top of your mind at the moment you want to share with us today, Ewa?
Well, Emara, I'm off to Kaipara today. The imposition of the national policy on water standards has created quite a lot of consternation as to what's the future of farming in and around Northland. Obviously, listeners would be aware there's a narrative known as Te Mana o Te Wai. It's kind of like a distillation of Māori interests in water. Now, that sits in legislation, and we need to be absolutely sure that, number one, it doesn't eclipse the other issues of water, which are economic and social, not only cultural and spiritual, And no doubt I'll get a good briefing about that when I go to the Maunga Tūroto Fonterra dairy site today. And then from there on to Paparō, where formerly I was able to provide some pūtea to cover the costs of civil construction for a new subdivision offering retiree pensioner housing. Because there is a housing set of challenges emerging for people your age and my age up who don't have a robust set of opportunities in front of them for housing. So I think developing subdivisions and developing options for our growing Northland population for housing, it's not just about Papakāinga or in our case at the back of our marae, it's for other families who may not have access to marae housing.
Tēnā koe. I don't know how many Māori are moving into these retirement villages. I did read some time ago saying that one in five New Zealanders are living in that sort of model, but it doesn't appear to be an area that Tangata Whenua have invested greatly in. Any thoughts as to why that might be?
I think that there's still a predominance of whānau who do want to keep their kaumātua and kuia near them. I'm a great believer in the provision of bespoke kaumātua housing for those of us who live in the north, in and around marae, or related to blocks of land proximate to where the services might be. But often the services can travel. For example, Dr. Bruce Gregory used to hop in his trusty old V8 Land Rover and drive up the 90-mile beach and go and visit the kaumātua and kuia north of Hauora, Ngātaki and Te Pau, and I'm sure if he ever got up to Te Hapua. And those people were quite secure living up in their tūranga wairai. It gave them a sense of purpose. It kept them connected with the beat of the local community. And indeed, my grandmother, for a long period of time, she was an independent living person on both of my grandmothers. So, look, I'm a great supporter of that. And obviously, you need to start early. So those of us who have people in our whānau in the age of 60 up, start focusing on your health. In fact, I better start taking that advice myself.
Yeah, all of us. Law and order is looming large is one of the big items coming into October, and it's exacerbated too by the constant ram raids. These are young people who are going off the straight and narrow, as we are well aware. But has it turned the plight of some of these young guys and their growth trajectory? Is that going to be a political hot potato coming into the election? Where do you read law and order, and how important is it going to be to determine who will get the reins of power next?
Yeah, law and order and cost of living, I think, for garden variety Kiwis who don't ordinarily engage in politics. But I feel there's a deeper problem. Somehow we've created a culture and a generation who believe who are possessed of the notion that they enjoy impunity, that the law can't touch them, the effect of the law is not relevant to them. It's quite an extraordinary mentality for my rural upbringing. Number one, they've got no respect for the police. Number two, their total loyalty is the small group they belong to, and its narcissistic tendencies. And let me tell you, they have nothing but contempt for the courts. I've witnessed this myself. So, Dale, sadly, for that type of mentality, and for the community to remain coherent, they're going to have to be removed from the community. And I'll be 1,000% behind that whakaaro.
Tēnā koe. Am I allowed to call you Shane Jones from Aotearoa Tuatahi?
You can call me what you like, bro, as long as some of your listeners vote for me.
Good on you, Shane. Thanks very much for your thoughts on Tuesday morning's Kia ora. Shane Jones is with us, long-time friend of the station.